Yeah, well, let's have a chat about the Bulldogs because the coach knows a fair bit about this time of year and he's been good enough to join us on the Breakfast Club on a Monday morning. Luke Beveridge, good morning to you, Bevo.
Morning, Harv.
We are just talking about your game. I've just done Around the Horn with the boys, and the game that you've got against the Saints is the game we're most looking forward to out of the four finals. You've come into the game defeating Fremantle by 30 points, Hawthorne by 36, West Coast by 2, lost to Geelong by 11, then Melbourne you beat by 28 the last five games. How do you see your form coming in?
Yeah, pretty good. It has improved over the course of the year, and our challenge has been to beat a couple of sides who have been recognised as teams who are, you know, a chance at the end of the year. And yeah, the West Coast game, albeit that they've been a little bit depleted at different times, they headed us late in the last quarter. So to come again and win that one was really important for us. And yeah, the Geelong one, we just didn't handle the loss of the two boys in the first half, and we lost our way a little bit as the game went on, and they were just, you know, quite outstanding with their experience, and we felt like Dangerfield, like he did against Sydney last week, just took control of the game, unfortunately. But yeah, we're in reasonable nick. I think our form line stacks up okay because of the mix of teams that we've beaten.
We spoke to Jackson McRae last week, and we were talking about the 2016 campaign and being there and knowing that you can. He made a good point about the fact there's been a fair turnover since then. But just from your perspective, knowing that this is a scenario you've seen before and you've seen success from, how important is that psychologically, do you think, going into a campaign like this?
Oh, I think it helps. I mean, you know, it's always possible. We know that. Ultimately, we managed to pull it off a little while ago. But I think the interesting thing is everyone's only played each other once this year. And, and you know, we haven't beaten, you know, the top four teams and some others in there. But usually in the season proper, if you get another look at it, maybe you're better prepared, and you know, to win the second time around. So we get a go at some of the teams that have beaten us if we can keep going. Obviously St Kilda are an enormous steeple for us to get over because they've been exceptional this year. You know, they've been there's been a lot of improvement, and you can really identify with a really strong brand of footy. So if we can, you know, come up and meet those challenges of the teams that have got us, then, and make some little tweaks and tap into our improvement, then yeah, who knows.
Bevo, we have to ask you about Aaron Norton and Mitch Wallace and their availability for the weekend. Obviously two critical components to your forward line.
Yeah, I mean, as you probably become aware, if you didn't already know, some of these depressed cheekbone injuries can be a little bit more severe than other less severe ones. And Aaron, you know, there was no concussion involved, which was the huge positive. He's basically been hit pretty crisp by Sean Darcy. Obviously, the big fella's got a hard head. It was just a matter of going in and levering it out. So he's got a small cut, but he's been terrific, and he's been out of action as far as the group goes due to quarantine and COVID sort of protocols. But he'll train with the group for the first time since the surgery today, and he'll, you know, and all be, everything goes well, he'll definitely play, and Wally should be fine as well.
Bevo, Jimmy Bartel here. Sides always focus on what they do well, and especially around finals time, you focus on what you're good at. But you also got to acknowledge what St Kilda do well. What will be your big focus area for the Saints to try and take away from them?
Yeah, hi, Jimmy. They've been in all their lines. They've got significant strength, so I think they're a very even team. They really compete for the ball, and the physical side of the game holds no fears for them. So I think anyone who can trouble the Saints needs to be totally up for the fight. You know, their two ruckmen have been influential, not just around the footy, but forward of the ball. I think, you know, as far as a one-on-one game goes, throughout the course of the game, they're particularly strong just with their their techniques and what they
what they pull off there. So there's sort of some fundamentals that they really do well, and they obviously work extremely hard together. There's a belief, and for them to climb the ladder and make the finals, they'll be, you know, on top of their running on top of the ground. So there's a whole mixture of things. But I think fundamentally they just play the game well.
When you were 0-2, Luke, you lost that first game to Collingwood, then came back off the break and lost again quite badly to St Kilda. Were you concerned at that point, and did you have to make any changes, or did you hold your nerve looking back on it to get yourself into the position you are now?
Oh, I won't say I wasn't concerned. I think we came into the year searching for our identity after it had been questioned post the elimination final loss, where we, you know, obviously got strong-armed quite severely by, you know, pretty mature GWS outfit. And I think in those first two rounds, we probably spent too much time on we didn't find the balance between the physical side of the game and just playing. And ultimately, after the second loss, we came together and probably got back to the core of why we'd be a good side again, and significantly we were playing GWS. So we found a way to, we knew what was coming again, they tried it on again, and we found a way to find a really strong balance of playing the game and flying the flag for each other. And I think from there we really grew as and the unity side of it became stronger, and we started to play some better footy. So yeah, it was a significant challenge. I think probably one of the biggest challenges, almost the biggest challenge I've had since I've coached the boys, to try and help them through it. And to their credit, they did an outstanding job to now get to a point where, you know, we're playing some pretty good footy, and those questions around the physicality and if we're challenged on that front, I think have disappeared.
So when you're coaching that, Luke, when a team's trying to search for its identity, do you have to help them find that identity, or do they have to actually find it themselves in the way they play, particularly in high-pressure moments, which that clearly was the case in that game against the Giants in round three?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, the boys ultimately have to find the courage and the grit and the wherewithal to just confront whatever's in front of them, but helping them as far as what the glue might be is important. And you know, in team sports, obviously it's more than one or two. It's in our game, you know, you need a collective that really shows a front, and so you need everyone on board. And I think the players did, and the leadership group did, an amazing job just to help each other to find a way there. So it's a little bit of everything, but ultimately the players are the ones who need to find that aspect, and they have.
Luke Beveridge has joined us, the coach of the Bulldogs. Got the Saints on Saturday in Game 3 of Week 1 of the AFL Finals at the Gabba, 4:40. Check your local guides. I was at that game, Bevo, in Round 2 at Marvel Stadium, where St Kilda did defeat you. And there's a lot of conversation post and during the game even about the impact of the Ryder-Marshall combination versus Tim English. Now, I think Tim English has evolved beautifully in the back end of the season, and he's probably one of your most informed players at the moment. But how much time is that going to take up from you and your match committee trying to find a way to nullify those two, particularly at centre bounces, where at the Gabba can be quite destructive?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, Harv. That Saints game was lost through, if you can remember, we had multiple opportunities to get a lead early and squandered them, and then our lack of attention to detail in our defensive system really cost us, and the Saints just opened us up. We had a significant correction after that game going into the next week as a team as far as how we defend. The personnel changed, and there were quite pointed reminders throughout the course of the week as to what we needed, and from then we've improved it and we've been better. And the Ryder Marshall side of things was I wouldn't say it was totally integral to that victory, but Tim is actually one of the, I think he's really improved at centre bounce. I mean, we're second to West Coast.
focused on score differential as far as centre bounce goes, and that's partly what he does after the hit out with the other three mids.
Yep.
We don't win the clearance differential, but we win the score differential. So if teams do get that centre clearance, we're usually able to pressure it, and our back six can resurrect the footy. So we're one of the better teams as far as that goes. So that's important that we hold up our form line in there. And I think Tim will jump, and he'll be really instrumental in that centre bounce against those two. And then post that, we've got to look after Tim and make sure that we support him and he gets his rests, and then we come up with the right formula to ruck against those two when Tim isn't on the ground without disrupting what we want to do in the turnover game.
So, Bevo, we're obviously going into a final series, but an important finals player for you guys previously was Tory Dixon. He announced his retirement over the weekend. How significant has he been for the football club?
Yeah, his finals performances, Adam, have been just amazing. I mean, when you look at his statistics and how much he scored, and at that preliminary final when he played a negating forward role on Heath Shaw and still managed to kick, he kicked four or five that day.
Five,
and he had lining up for his sixth on the siren. That's just an extraordinary performance. So he's been a big game player, Tory, and as we know, he's a good kick for goal. He's had some injury post the 16 year, which, you know, on the back of losing him and Pico and Clay, who were the guys who pretty much kicked our scores in those finals, it was a difficult thing to recalibrate and find the players to then take us forward. So we haven't really had any continuity. And then when he was fit last year, Sam Lloyd, Bailey Dale, Aaron Norton, Josh Shackey, you know, their forward line was all Wally. They're all playing well. He couldn't find his way back into the team. And he's given us great service. Our supporters will remember his feats, particularly in that 16 year, and we're really grateful for his contribution.
So this game on the weekend would have either been played at Marvel Stadium in front of 50,000 or the MCG, and there probably would have been a few more there. So the noise from both supporter groups would have been absolutely electric, considering St Kilda haven't played finals for a long time now. How do you create that atmosphere, particularly in the rooms before the game? Because you, as a player, you can hear the noise of a final in the rooms. You can hear your supporters, you know, starting to get restless because they want the game to start. It will be a little bit different, obviously, this weekend. Have you thought of any little ideas of how you're going to create that atmosphere to make sure the players are in the right frame of mind?
Yeah, I've been surprised at what's transpired on, you know, game day as far as it not really being a factor so far with no crowds or very limited crowds. And I think even though there won't be any strong representation from either supporter groups, we hope as many Bulldogs people get there as possible from the Queensland state. But I think there'll be a lot of impartial supporters who will probably be cheering, so there will be a crowd, which will be different for both teams. And I think our boys are looking forward to playing in front of at least a bigger crowd. So that's something, you know, something to look forward to. That I asked them earlier in the year, you know, what would you rather do? When you think about playing in front of crowds who aren't that parochial or not many people in the stands versus just a really boisterous 80 or 90,000 strong crowd, what would you prefer? And the boys straight away said, oh, are you kidding? We're obviously the big crowd. So I think there's an excitement level that we're going to actually play in front of more people. So I think that'll take care of that.
And have you found the 13-day break? Well, will you have found the 13-day break? Have you known yourself? Because you've been backing up on 4 and 5 days through most of the year, Bevo, and all of a sudden you get a sleep in, so to speak.
Yeah, I think we've managed our year pretty well when we've had a longer break. We've sort of gone one day on, one day off, and it does give you a chance to train and prepare a bit earlier without starting the build-up from a psychological point of view too early. So we had a good session on Saturday, and today will be a more of a technical session than anything, and we'll have another pretty good hit out on Wednesday. So it just gives you a chance just to hone in on some of the tweaks that you need to make. Talk about your match day plans early and give your players a game plan that they can hang their hat on and get excited about. So that's been important, but also the lads have been able to retreat a little bit from the game and either have a hit of golf or get out and have a swim in the ocean at different times. And so that's an important thing still, that we don't just move away from that because it gets a bit more serious.
And for you, did the skateboard make it in the bag on the way up?
No, there was a fair bit of luggage, but the skateboard didn't find its way into the bag.
Well, I'm disappointed, Bevo. I would have thought you'd be rolling up and down the Cavill Avenue or wherever you are at the moment in Hub Life, just enjoying the sunshine. But we wish you the best of luck on Saturday. It's going to be an absolute cracker, we reckon, against the Saints, 4:40. Check your local guys. We appreciate your time. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, Arf. Thanks, boys.